play Jesus Loves Me. And the kids can go ahead and be dismissed to worship kids style. And I'm thankful for all those that are working for that today. As they are dismissed, I'm going to have Tim come up. And we want to remind you of our 20-20-20. 20 more families growing, 20 more families giving, and 20 more families going. And we want to give you these opportunities. And Tim wants to remind you of one today. They're going to go to Markham Terrace. How many years has that been now, Tim? 6 years they've been going to Markham Terrace and building relationships with that Section 8 housing there in Huntington. And we just want to know that's an opportunity for you to be able to be a part of. They won't take a teenager unless the parent goes with them because of the danger that does involve in going there in the Section 8 housing. Every time you turn on the WSAZ news, you feel like you hear something happen in Markham Terrace. So we want to keep them as safe as possible, but yet go and share God's love with those people. So Tim's going to come and share that with you, and then he's going to have a special prayer. David Maynard, we've been praying for him for almost 3 months now, and he's been going through some difficult times. Had two major surgeries a couple weeks ago, and he has now a hole underneath his lung, draining that infection out of his body. But he still has absolutely no energy whatsoever, and he needs our prayers to uplift him. So we just want to pray as a church, and we're going to have Tim lead us and ask the Lord just to give him that strength he needs. He's going to have to go back to Cleveland Clinic Thursday, and right now he struggles just getting up and going to the living room. So it's going to be really difficult to get up and go to Cleveland. So that's a large going on him this week. So we just ask the Lord to be with him. And we have other families that are standing in need of prayer today as well. So Tim, come share with us and pray.
Good morning, church. We are at 2 o'clock. We're going to Markham Terrace, which, as Pastor told you, we're in our sixth year now of going to Markham Terrace, the Section 8 housing in Huntington. You all have heard me talk about it before. But pray for us. But not only pray for us, pray that maybe God would lead you towards participating in that ministry or any of the other ministries, and we have a lot of outreach ministries in our church. And that is one of the goals for 2020, would be that our church family would become more active in the ministries of our church. And so I ask you to pray towards that. Pray for us and towards maybe participating in one of these ministries, including today at 2 o'clock as we go to Huntington. Also, I would remind you of the parenting conference is tonight, starting at 6 o'clock. We're actually going to be in the Sanctuasium here and have it on the big screen. And so while I'm doing that, because I will forget, and Pastor Chuck will forget because I haven't told him, after church, if we could get several of our men to clean out these two rows of chairs right here, to stack them up and get them out of the way so we can prepare for tonight, we would appreciate that greatly. The outside chairs leave there, and we'll use them for the tables. Guys, pray for Pastor David and Rhody. It's been a real struggle. One of the greatest servants ever to come out of our church, and we're thankful for David and Rhody and Marie. And so let's pray for them right now. Lord, we thank you again for your grace and mercy on us and for the gift that you've given us called today. And Lord, that we can come into your house unhindered, without any fear, and worship you. So Lord, may we do that for the balance of this hour in spirit and truth. And as we do that, Lord, we recognize that one of your great servants from this church, Lord, is struggling today. We pray for Pastor David, Lord, that you would give him strength, that you would give him an appetite, Lord, that you would give him peace in his heart and in his mind as to where he is at today. Lord, we know that you're the great healer and that you can, and we pray, Lord, that David would be healed. Lord, we pray for Rhody as she ministers to him day in and day out. Lord, that you would give her comfort in her heart, that you would give her strength when she feels like it's all gone. And Lord, we pray for Marie, Lord, that is with them. And Lord, has her own struggles. We pray for them individually, and we pray for them as a family. And Lord, we pray for them as part of our church family. Lift up our brother David. today, Lord. Give him strength this week to make it to Cleveland. We pray for good results. And, Lord, as we do that, we also know that there are so many that are struggling and are hurting within the walls of this church and in the community and the state where we live. Lord, we pray for those folks. Lord, a lot of people that we don't know, but that we hear about struggles, Lord, we pray for them. We know that you do know them. And Lord, we know that you love them, and we know that you care for them. And so we lift up those folks too. Lord, I pray for Pastor Chuck, for the message to come. Lord, we thank you for his heart to shepherd this church family. We pray for the balance of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you turn with me to Romans chapter 11 as we continue to go through the book of Romans. Last week, we talked about the omniscience of God and how God knows everything and is never shocked by anyone or anybody rejecting them or anything happening. And I actually made the statement. I said, you know, we don't know what's coming around the next corner. We have no idea of what tragedy is awaiting us, even maybe today. And there's a beautiful young elderly couple that sits right over there on the second row in front of Ross normally every Sunday, Betty and Clyde. And Betty and Clyde left that service just after I said those words. And as soon as they got home, they got a phone call that their 56-year-old son had passed away. They had no idea that he was sick, nothing. What happens is this, is none of us know what's going to happen today. None of us know what's going to happen later on or tomorrow. But the most important part is this, that we know the God who does know. And that we put our faith and we put our trust in him who is able to do that which he said he could do. In Romans chapter 11, as we continue on, I have a bucket list, maybe like you have a bucket list. One day I would love to be able to see the Grand Canyon. I don't know, anybody here been able to see the Grand Canyon? I mean, there's a couple of you all who've had that privilege. I look forward to one day going to the Grand Canyon. I read that it's 915 miles. I have a picture, I believe, if it made it. Did it make it? And I can only imagine making that 915-mile trip, but I have a difficulty that I struggle with personally, and I would be afraid that I would drive 915 miles, get out of the car, walk up to that thing and say, huh, ain't that pretty, and then get back in the car. Y'all ready? And that's all I would do, you know what I'm saying? Because I have become such a list deal-oriented person in that, okay, I did that, I checked off the list, next. What's after this? But what I want to do before I get to that place where I go to the Grand Canyon, I want to be more mature in my life. So when I do make the effort to drive the 1,915 miles to the Grand Canyon, that I will get out of the car and instead of saying, huh, ain't that nice, and going back to the house, that I would linger there, and that I would just stand in amazement of how amazing God is, and that I would maybe even sing the song, How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art, and realizing the majesty and the miraculous hand of God that created that. But what I'm sharing with you today is this, there's times in our lives where we do not need to be so involved in checking off of a list, but what we need to do is stop and smell the roses, is what they say, I guess. We need to sit back and linger and be amazed of the handiwork of God Almighty. But the problem is this, we get so busy and we get so involved in life that we forget to do that. Romans chapter 11 up to this point has been a pretty fun. I hope you can say that with me. But what the whole entire chapter 1 through 11 so far has told us that what we need more than anything in this world is the gospel. That means the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And by us admitting that our greatest need is the gospel, you know what that actually says? If we did not need Christ to die, if we did not need Christ to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and if we did not need Christ to resurrect from the grave and defeat death, would have God sent His only begotten Son to do those things? No. But because of the need that we have, God supplied our need and gave us a Savior in Jesus Christ because we had a debt of sin that we could not pay. So the whole book of Romans so far, chapter 1 to chapter 11, is reminding us that we needed Jesus because of our sin, because of the mistakes that we made in our life. And it didn't say you needed Jesus and you needed Jesus and I needed Jesus. What does the Bible tell us? For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. But not only have all sinned and came short of the glory of God, but Romans has taught us so far that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And next Sunday, we go to this other part of the Romans where it actually says, now that you understand what the gospel has done for you, now this is how you apply it to your everyday life. But today what we get is a break. And what he's giving us is that moment where we look out over the Grand Canyon and say, how great thou art. How amazing and how wonderful is God in all that he has done for us. So I want you to read this break with me, this pause, this doxology, this time of praise, these five verses that what we do in the middle of our hustle and bustle, middle of worrying if we got everything checked off the list, well, we can just calm down, take a deep breath, linger a while, and praise Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. We've been going through Romans quite a while now, but our hope is this, that God would transform the information that we have collected so far in this series and turn it into adoration. We get so much information in life. We get so many Bible studies that we do. We read the Bible. We hear sermons. We have a collecting right now of information that comes from all over the place. But what happens when we get all this information about God, all this information about Jesus, and all this information about how he has saved us, but it never one time turns into a time of worship, a time of understanding how great God is and how that we can bring honor and glory to his holy name? What happens if we have all the information, but we don't have profound love? We don't have a deep love. We don't have regard. We don't have a deep esteem for God Almighty. What if we have all this information and absolutely no adoration? What if we have the possibility of knowing Christ, but yet we do not make him known to this world? This is Valentine's Day weekend. Friday, I pray that you all took your sweethearts out, and I made my wife food at home, and she really appreciated that. Yeah. But I tried. You know, it was the thought that counts is what I'm going for anyway. And who wants to stand in line anyway? You know what I mean? I thought I was helping out there a little bit. But, you know, we understand Valentine's Day and the importance of that. But the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't ever read the love chapter, man, that would have been an awesome time to read it. The love chapter starts out with three questions. And they're very strange questions. And the first question comes out this: what would happen if you could speak every language on earth? Man, I can speak English, Romanian, and hillbilly. So I got three that I do. I don't do English very well, but I'm pretty good at Romanian and hillbilly. But, you know, my wife speaks five or six of them, and that's awesome. I'm glad she can. She says she can. I don't know if she can or not. Who am I? You know what I'm saying? I can't test her or something of that nature. I don't have that ability. But what would happen if you knew every language on earth? You know what would happen? You could communicate with every living creature, every living person. You would not have a language barrier with nobody. Can you imagine the possibilities that you would have if you could communicate with everybody? And then the second question comes up, and he says, if you would know every word in God's word, if you would be able to know the deep secrets of God Almighty, how amazing would that be? If you didn't have to say, you know what, let me look in the Bible. What if you already knew that? What if you knew the scripture by heart and it was the thing that you memorized? Man, we struggle memorizing little verses, much less the whole entire Bible. But what would it be like if you knew the whole Word of God and even His secrets? Man, how amazing would that be? And then the third question it asks in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, what would happen if you were able to give away everything you own and take care of all the poverty in this world? How amazing would that be? How amazing would it be if you could communicate with everybody, you'd know no barriers? How amazing would it be if you would know all the secrets of God and know everything that the Bible has to teach? What would you be able to do if you was able to live not for yourself, but to give everything away to the poor? How amazing would that be? But you know what the Apostle Paul is asking us? He's saying, no matter if you could speak every language, no matter if you could know the whole entire Bible, no matter if you could give away everything you own and you have not love, you have nothing. You have absolutely nothing. And that's what we're seeing here today. No matter how much information you have, no matter how much talent you have, no matter how blessed you are, how much you give or how much you don't give, if you don't ever take the time and just praise the Lord for all that He's blessed you for, what do you have if you don't come and adore Christ, the newborn King? If we don't have adoration, what business is it that we have the information? And God is calling us today because of what we know, that He is worthy to be praised. And He starts out with this doxology, this song. And He starts off with this: oh, the depth. Oh, the depth. We know what it means to be deep. If someone says something profound, what do we say? Well, that was deep, right? We understand what He means by, oh, the depth. And He says, what's so deep about God? He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He says, how deep is God's riches? How deep is God's wisdom? How deep is His knowledge? It is more deeper than we can ever imagine. God is deep when it comes to His riches. God is deep when it comes to His wisdom. God is deep when it comes to His knowledge. God is far greater than we can ever, ever comprehend. And I'm so thankful that God is more greater than my comprehension. We can never, ever get to the bottom of His riches. We can never spend all of God's money. We can never run out of the supplies, because my God will supply all of my needs. We can never get to the bottom of His riches. We can never get to the bottom of His wisdoms. The decisions He makes for me on a day-by-day basis are the best decisions that can ever be made. We will never run out of good decisions when it comes from God Almighty. How deep are His thoughts, how is His wisdom, and how His knowledge God's understanding and knowledge of us is complete. He knew us even when we are yet in our mother's womb. He knows everything about us. Oh, the depth of His riches, of His wisdom, and His knowledge. And he continues on and he says that God is not only deep, but God is unsearchable. We live in a Google-driven world today when absolutely nobody is unsearchable. You can put anybody's name in a search engine and find somebody. But here we see that God is unsearchable. How unsearchable are His judgments? God's judgments refer here to the decisions that He makes, and the decisions are impossible for us to understand. We cannot comprehend and we cannot understand the reasons why God allows things to happen. There is no one in this earth that has the ability to understand why things happen. We cannot discern. We cannot. His judgments are unsearchable. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." You can never figure out God, because we will never be able to understand His ways. And that's the third part of the thing. He says not only is God deep, but God is unsearchable and God is inscrutable. God's ways are way past finding out. God's ways are past finding out. And that word unscrutable in that second part of the verse 34 teaches us about a farmer. I wish Frank was here this morning, because he could explain a little bit more in depth of what we do things. But Frank's, I believe, in Indiana at a volleyball tournament. But what Frank actually, he tracks animals and sells their fur, at the best of my understanding, just like in the good old days. And the other day, he found a spotted skunk. And he was so proud of that. And I said, I think a spotted skunk is something you go hunting for and hope you don't find. You know what I'm saying? Why would you want one of those? But hey, you got it. But the word inscrutable, his ways are impossible to figure out. We can't figure them out. What he's describing here is a hunter who is trying to track an animal, to outsmart an animal and figure out where they are and trace them and catch up with them by tracking them, their scent, and tracking their steps, and coming up and capturing that animal as a hunter. And the Lord Paul uses that word to allow us to understand a hunter can outsmart a deer and be able to catch him as he hunts. But we will never, ever outsmart God. We would never be able to catch up with God, because His ways are impossible for us to understand. And that is what we see here in God's holy word. You ain't going to outsmart God. Period. His ways are inscrutable. His ways are impossible for us to understand. They are deep. And he asked three rhetorical questions here. And when we ask those questions, those are the best questions to ask, because they're not asking for an answer. Amen? That's the easy ones that we have. And he starts out with these three questions that remind us that we are not able to fully understand God. And we need to realize this. If we can understand God, is He God? If we can figure out God, is He God or are we God? There's no way that we can understand Him. And this is where we have these three questions remind us of this. For who has known the mind of the Lord? The second question, who has been His counselor? And the third question we'll see in a minute, who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? So the very first two questions comes from Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13. So Isaiah 40 and verse 13. There it is. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him. So he asked these two questions to be able to let us understand the question, for who has known the mind of the Lord? Have we done that? Do you know the mind of the Lord today? Do you understand why the Lord is doing what he's doing in your life? Do you understand why this happens and why that happens? No. And then the second question comes up is this. Who's able to give God advice? You know, they said something in a song that Michelle just now sang. In the middle of that song, it says, he's the one who directs the lightning bolts. You know, I had a friend named Leon that worked with me at the Ace Hardware. We were Helpful Hardware men, and he was the guy who loaded the lumber up in the back lumber yard. When I come out one day, I was probably 15 years old, and Leon was back there loading up a truck in the middle of a storm. It was always storming in Florida, so that wasn't a big deal, and lightning hit him, and I stood there and watched it. I didn't know what to do. I was like, that's the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life. But I forgot that Leon was a person. And I was like, man, I can't believe that. And I was like, oh, wow, look at this. And everybody come running out of the store, what happened? I said, well, he just got hit by lightning. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And they're like, don't you think maybe we ought to call somebody? Well, yeah, I guess. But it was cool. You know, for Leon, it'd be kind of hard to say God directed that light bulb to hit Leon right in the head. But, you know, he was a little bit smarter after that. He moved inside to the lumberyard, so it helped maybe. We have no idea, and none of us are at the point in our lives right now, nor will we ever get to the point in our lives where we're able to give God advice. I want to just take a moment and stop there. For some of you all, this is going to be a struggle when we get to heaven. You didn't get that, did you? But Lord, you know what? We had a good day, but let me share something that I think maybe it could have helped you in this matter, right? We're never, ever going to get to the place where we can give God counsel or advice because he's God and we're not. And that's the second thing. The third question comes up and it says, who has ever given a gift to him that he might be repaid? Have you ever gave a gift to God that was so amazing that it made God feel like, you know what I need to do? I need to give them something back. I need to pay. I owe them something. The Bible says in Job chapter 40, verse 11, 41 verse, who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. God owes me nothing. No matter what I've done for him, no matter what I have given to him, no matter how hard I've worked, no matter what I have sacrificed, God owes me nothing. We live in a world today where people think that people owe them absolutely everything. I have someone on my answer machine that I'll let you listen to if you ever get if you want to have a chuckle. This man has actually called the church, and he needs to get to some place, and the best thing he can figure is that we need to give him our church van so he'll have transportation. How often do you use the church van, people? I can just start using that, and that'd be my own personal van, and I could. He don't go to our church. We don't even know his name. We can't even understand him. But he figured that he was entitled to the church van. Some of you are wanting to give it to him. Go ahead. We believe that you owe me something. We believe that this world owes me something. That's what's raised in this world. But God absolutely owes me nothing. But he loves me so much that even though he owes me nothing, he has given me what? Everything. He has given me the most marvelous gift of all. My sins have been forgiven. He's given me peace that surpasses all understanding. He's given me a life that I have an opportunity to have purpose, that I was created to bring honor and glory to His holy name, the reason that I have breath. Today, we can see that there's not a gift that I could ever give that would repay the Lord for all He's done. Paul ends this with a three-line doxology, a praise song. For from Him and through Him and to Him all things, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. God is the source of all things. All the blessings, all the good things that we have today in the richest society that has ever existed in the mankind, God is a source of it all. He is the one who has brought the blessings down to us. He is the one who has given us absolutely all of our needs. God is a source of all things. They are from Him. But not only is He the source of all things, God is the sustainer of what? All things. To Him are all, through Him are all things. Absolutely everything you get comes through the Lord. Everything that helps comes through the Lord. It's for Him and through Him. And then we're going to see not only is God the only one who sustains all things, but God is the significance of all things. It is to Him all things are all things. It's for His glory. The reason I have breath today is to bring glory to God. The problem that I have and the problem that you have is this, that I believe the reason I have breath today is to do what I want to do. But when I understand God who created me, the reason I have breath is to praise His name, is to glorify Him for all that He's done to me. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Maybe we don't need more information. Maybe we have the information, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe we understand our greatest need is to know God and to know that He has given His life, His only begotten Son, to die on the cross for us. Maybe what we need today is this. Maybe we need to take a pause in time for adoration. Maybe it's time to take the information that we've collected and understand how blessed we are, and we would take a time to worship Him in truth and spirit and adore Him for all that He has done for us. And that would be the time that we need today, because we get so busy and so unapologetically involved in making a list and checking it off and trying to get through the next day or the next week or whatever we're trying to get through. But maybe what we need is a break. Maybe we need a pause to sit back and linger and get out of the car there at the Grand Canyon and walk up to the edge there, not too close. That's why they have a fence right there, right? And look out over that marvelous creation that God has made and wonder who He made that for. He made it for us. When we look up in the skies and see the beautiful galaxies, and man, people will tell me all the time, you know what, that right now we have an asteroid that's coming within like 3 billion miles of us or something like that. Man, that's close. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, we need to suck it in. That might get us when it goes by. You know what I'm saying? And you're wondering, why in the world are there so many galaxies out there that nobody can even understand how far they're away? The only reason this preacher can figure out why they're out there is so that we can say, man, how great Thou art. How amazing God is. And He, the one that hung the stars in the skies, has sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for me. Why? Because He cares for me. He loves me. and he wanted to supply my every need. If God was small enough for you to figure out, God would not be big enough for you to worship. We can't understand how amazing God is. But one thing I want to share with you this morning is this. Let's don't try to con people into becoming a Christian. I've heard people say, you know what, if you would give your life to Christ, man, you would have a wonderful life. And if all your problems will go away, man, you just have a great life. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, people. Those people have been living on this earth the same amount of time most of us have been living on this earth. And they've known Christians that get on their nerves worse than anything in the world. And you're saying if those people will become a Christian, they're not going to have any problems? But man, we got Christians all over the place have problems. Wait a minute. Everybody has problems. So you're telling someone if you become a Christian, you won't have problems. They automatically say, wait a minute, everybody has problems. So what you're saying is crazy. The other day I heard a commercial on the radio that I wish everybody would listen to. I had one guy, actually, I'm not going to call him out, but he almost got thrown out of a 6-year-old basketball game the other day. I'm not going to say who it was, right? Because of a problem with a referee. Nobody, don't even look at where that's at. You don't know. But the commercial was National High School Athletic Association trying to recruit men and women to become referees in high school sports. And it was the funniest commercial you've ever heard in your life. Do you want to help your community? Do you want to be respected in your community? And it continues on, and you could do this and actually do the game that you love and help your community and then make a few bucks meanwhile. You know, it doesn't say anything about having people threaten you and kill your, you know, stuff like that, but that's okay. But at the end of it, when it was closing up, it went to a live ball game, and you heard cheers and go, hey. And then one guy stood up and said, good call, ref. No one has ever said that. So if you're saying that, if you're here and you're listening to that commercial and you're thinking, well, I want to help my community. I love people to respect me. And I enjoy encouragement. I ought to be a ref. You're crazy. They're going to call you names. They're going to question your mother. They're going to question everything about you and hates you no matter what. I've never seen a ref that did not get ridiculed in some way, fashion, or not. But here they're trying to tell you, oh, if you do this, you do this. No, that's fake news is what that is. So what I'm saying is this. Don't go around and tell people if you become a Christian, everybody's going to love you. If you become a Christian, you'll never have a financial problem the rest of your life. If you become a Christian, nobody you know will ever die. I mean, you won't have any more pain. You won't have any more suffering because the world knows better than that. Because there's absolutely nobody who has escaped this world without struggles, without problems. But what we need to give the people are not our ideas, not our take on things. What we need to give the people is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. For all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. And we have a great need. And the only one who's able to supply that need today is Jesus. And he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And if you believe upon him with all your heart and you confess with him with your mouth, that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says, you will be saved. And what if we give them the correct information? God comes in and gives them the adoration. You cannot make someone adore God. can only provide the correct information, the correct gospel, and allow them to see what God has done for them. Then God, how He does this is beyond our imagination. But through His Holy Spirit, He convicts. I can remember being an 8-year-old boy at Emmanuel Baptist Church, right across from Happy Mart there, in now called Kies, Kentucky. And there was an old man who lived right across the street from our church. I think his last name was Priest. And they were showing a movie at our church that night called Burning Hell. Has anyone ever seen that movie? You remember that. There's a couple of us, Cherry V people, who've seen that. Look, Joey. See, look at us. It's all of us. We've been raised right, ain't we? Us Creek people, we've all seen it. And it was about a burning hell. It was the scariest movie you've ever seen in your life. Cheesy. It's really bad made, but really powerful. And I was 8 years old. And this man was sitting in front of me, and he had his hands in his pockets. He was probably 70. And he got so nervous, it sounded like he was playing Jingle Bells with his keys and his change in his pockets. And he was shaking uncontrollably. And I was just a kid, and I was thinking, what in the world is wrong with this guy? And then the worst part of it is, why is nobody doing something about it? He's shaking, he's crying, and he's trembling. What's going on? And he stood there and shook and shook and shook. And finally, he just got up and he shouted out, "I need Jesus." What happened at that moment? I was an 8-year-old kid raised in church. I'd seen the Holy Spirit move, but I'd never heard the Holy Spirit shake somebody's keys and change in their pockets. And they come over him, and it shook him to the point where he could not wait another moment before he asked Christ to come into his heart. That's what we do today, folks, is we share the information, and God brings the adoration. He's the one through His Holy Spirit that comes in and gets a hold of a man and changes them for eternity. Today, the question is this: is God worthy to be praised? This is not a rhetorical question. It's a question that He's asking. God is asking you this morning and me, have I ever done anything for you that makes it you want to praise me today? Have I ever done anything for you that would ever bring you to the point where you would glorify my name? God is asking, has He done something for you that where you could say today, He is worthy to be praised? And the answer is this: yes. He and He alone is worthy to be praised. To Him, for Him, through Him, and to Him are all things. To God be the glory. I pray today that we take a break, take a moment, and just thank the Lord for all that He's done. And this morning, if you've never believed upon Jesus, today you have the information. What you need now is the adoration. Come, let us adore Him, Christ Jesus. Well, God, we'd ask that You do that mighty work in each and every one of our hearts today. Lord, what we need is more than anything in this world is You. Lord, what we want to do is not just rush through this life marking off check boxes. But Lord, what we want to do is take this moment to linger, to take a pause in the middle of the difficulty and praise your holy name. Because Lord, you and you alone are worthy to be praised. Lord, may we exalt you above all. And may this world around us see us praising you and understand how great thou art. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. We turn this invitation over to you. Lord, I ask your Holy Spirit to convict those in their sins today. And may what we do is run to you. In Jesus' precious name, we do pray.